Well, amen. What a blessing that song was, the message and song as well. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and look with me tonight to the book of Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3, our Wednesday nights, we've been going through and studying on the life of Joshua. And so much that God has recorded about the man Joshua, and then as he is now prepared to lead the nation of Israel across the Jordan River and into the promised land to receive the promised land that God had given to the nation of Israel. And so this is right before in chapter 3. It's right before they are to go over the Jordan River. And so we'll be reading once again chapter 3, verse 5 down to verse 11. Chapter 3, verse 5 down to 11. So go ahead and stand with me. And we read this same chapter, but we didn't get all of what I wanted to bring out last Wednesday night. So tonight we're going to be highlighting some of this and then bringing out some thoughts that we can apply to our lives from the study of the life of Joshua. So Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. They took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will, without fail, drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. We again thank you for the privilege of being in church tonight, for the opportunity, and for each one that's taken advantage of that opportunity that are here this evening. And I pray, God, that you'd help us all just to put our hearts and our minds to rest and just to open them up to receive what you have for us tonight. Pray that you would bless in the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So before the people were to go over the Jordan and see the miracle of God to part the Jordan River, to allow them to go over, they're getting ready to start a new life ahead of them. And before he would do this, he says in verse 5, sanctify yourselves. That sanctification or set apart for God. Now, we studied last week the different types of sanctification. First of all, there is the positional sanctification. The position was for Israel, they had been positioned as God's chosen people, and they had accepted the covenant that God had with them through Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant. So that was they were already sanctified as far as their position of sanctification. And for us today, when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, whether you understand it or not, God sets you apart for his purpose. You become the children of God. You're a child of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have God as your heavenly Father. You have Jesus as your Savior, Holy Spirit as your Comforter. That is the very same for all believers. All believers around the world, all human, all believers, we have been sanctified. That's positional sanctification. And you don't have to do it. When you get saved, that's what God does for you. He allows you into he adopts you into his family. And so that's positional. Israel, they were already God's chosen people. Okay, so that's positional sanctification. And so in the next step after positional sanctification is sanctify yourselves, which for us is self-progressive sanctification. That means that is what we're progressively looking to do, is become more and more like Christ. And the more we separate ourselves from the worldly things, we separate ourselves from different things and to God, and focusing on being more like Jesus Christ. And you can only do that for yourself. God will not force that issue. You're God's child. If you're saved, He has a purpose for your life. He's either going to bring conviction into your life. He's going to give you peace when you do things right. You'll have that comforter working as He is supposed to comfort us when we're in the will of God, we're outside the will of God. If you're truly saved, you'll be miserable because there'll be chastisement. There will be all the different things that are taking place. If you have truly have this positional sanctification, then God wants each one of us to sanctify ourselves, if you will, self-progressive sanctification. And then we studied last week, we won't go into all that again, but then we studied after that is eternal sanctification. Because once this life is over, then we will be like Christ for an eternity. And if you ever wondered what the world would be like, if everyone would be like Christ, then that's what the millennial reign of Christ is going to have. And that we're going to be there in a glorified body. The Bible says coming back, don't know exactly how all that's going to work, but we are to come back with Him ruling and reigning. But the world will be ruled and reigned by Christ from Jerusalem, and righteousness will rule and reign for 1,000 years. That thought itself ought to bring joy to all of our hearts. We're seeing what's taking place today. And boy, it can be very discouraging. But when you look forward, amen, it's all going to work out. It's all going to work out. Because on this present earth, there will be a millennial reign of Christ where righteousness will rule and reign. And that's going to be an exciting day. It really is. But that's then. So for us, we'll be raptured before that takes place, and we'll come back with Christ. But that is eternal sanctification, set apart for an eternity to be able to worship God and fellowship with one another, fellowship with God. I don't know exactly what it's going to be like. I tell people all the time, heaven will far exceed your greatest expectations. You can't think it to be greater than what it's going to be. No matter how, what you think about it, it will far exceed your greatest expectations. That's a tremendous help and a blessing there. And so we find that's what He's telling them to do here. He's telling them to sanctify themselves. Over in the book, and let me just read this to you, but 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel," that's your body, "in sanctification and honor." So what he's talking about there is self-progressive sanctification. We should never think that we have arrived to the place we don't need to work on becoming more like Christ. Amen. There's always, we're learning things all the time. We can continue to progressively be more and more like Jesus Christ. And that's what we are to do. And so he tells the people there, before they experience the power and the blessings of God, God wants you to sanctify yourself. Get your mind where it needs to be. Get your heart where it needs to be. Be ready for what God is going to accomplish with you. Amen. So, but sometimes we got to tell ourselves, I got to get my thinking back on track. Sometimes we got to get our emotions back on track. We need to do that for ourselves. Only you can do that for you. That's self-sanctification, okay? And so then we go on down there in verse 7. The Bible says this, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I," God's going to do this, "begin to magnify thee." Joshua, I'm going to magnify you, your position before the people. "Magnify thee in the sight of all Israel." And this is the reason for that, that they, as I magnify you, it's not for your benefit, it's for the people's benefit. "They may know that as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee." That's very powerful right there too. God magnified Joshua in the people's sight so that God could do a work through him. If God doesn't magnify somebody that you look to and look up to in your eyes, that person cannot do a work of God for you. I tell people all the time, you will never be able to be fed by someone that you do not respect, whether it's a pastor, whether it's a Sunday school teacher, whether it's somebody trying to give you instructions. If you do not respect that individual, you will not allow them to teach you anything. The whole time that they're trying to teach you, you're trying to make comments inside your own heart and mind. Well, you ought to live what you preach. Who do you think you are telling me to do that? Amen? We all been there? Yeah? If that person, if you cannot esteem that person that God has brought into your life very highly for their work's sake is letting God work through them to help you. That person can't help you. Now, again, over in the book of 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, we see that this is what Paul, writing to the church in Thessalonica, this is exactly what he's presenting when he says in verse 12, chapter 5, verse 12, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you." Know them, they're laboring for God, serving God among us, "and are over you in the Lord." That means that God has given them a position for them to teach, or for them to preach, or for them to counsel, for them to help you. They have a position, okay? And so, to labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. That's what God wants them to do, is admonishing you. "And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." Because their work, God's working through them to help you, will be dependent upon you being able to esteem them. Amen? Powerful stuff right there. Yeah. "And be at peace among yourselves." Be at peace among yourselves. As I was thinking about that, and as God magnified Joshua in the people's sight, don't know exactly how he did that other than just to give them a certain type of respect. His spirit bearing witness with them and encouraging them to look to Joshua in a way that they could see God in him. He magnified, however he did it, he magnified Joshua. He elevated Joshua in their sight so that as they looked to Joshua, Joshua could help them to better know God and to better know God's work and his will. As I think back over my life, I've been blessed by many who God has brought into my life. Who God brought into my life at the same time that he has given me a love and an appreciation and a great respect for. And because God brought them into my life, God magnified them in my sight, leading me to esteem them. And I think back over my years of ministry, even as a pastor, God has brought some men into my life as a young pastor that if they weren't there at the time that I needed something from God, I would not have continued in the ministry. If they weren't there at times in my life when I needed something from God, and God worked through that leader, that individual that I would esteem and seek counsel from, we would not have the Lighthouse Baptist Church as it is today. Because my leadership came from esteeming other leadership that God had exalted or magnified in my eyes, and I'm saying, I want to learn from how they pastored. I want to learn from how they apply the Word of God. I want to learn from their preaching. And praise the Lord, it impacted me, and God did that for me. Yeah. And there, if you look back over your life, people that God has brought into your life that he allowed you to esteem so that you could benefit from looking to them. Maybe it's a Sunday school teacher. Could be a pastor. Could be a parent. Could be even a coworker. But God brought people into your life, and because of their testimony, you were able to esteem them. And when you esteem them, then God would work through them to help you to better understand. Now there were some that I couldn't esteem, that I didn't learn anything from, I didn't want to learn anything from. Not everyone comes into my life and comes into your life by God's design. Amen? But you'll know when it is somebody that God's brought into your life, because God will magnify them in your heart and in your mind to be able to esteem them. And what I love about it, those are the ones that made it easy for me to esteem them, because they lived what they preached. Whatever it was that I wanted to learn from them, they were excelling in that area of their lives because of their commitment to Christ, which made it easy for me. As a leader, as a pastor, that's what I want to do. That's always been, because that's what I was able to glean from and learn from, is leadership that makes it easy to be able to esteem so that God can work through them. I think parents need to be aware of that. God has given you a position, and He wants you to raise your children in the right way, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but they have to esteem you. They have to respect you. And we need to make sure that we are doing everything we can do to live what we preach. And not just tell our kids, do it because I say to do it. Now, that ought to be enough for them to do it. I'm not saying that. But it's going to make it a lot easier for them to esteem you and understanding why you want them to do that when they can see you doing the same. Make it easy. I tell every husband, you need to make it easy for your wife to respect you. Yeah. Make it easy for every husband to love you, because that's what God has given the husband, to love your wife as Christ loved the church. But that's what she needs. What you need is for her to esteem you. Make it easy for her to esteem you, to respect you. Yeah. In every area. Powerful truth there that Joshua, God gives us through the Joshua. Will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, I will be with thee. As I magnify you, then you'll be able to represent me to them. Yeah, I love that. Verse 9 and 10, and Joshua said unto the children of Israel. See, because right after Joshua understood this to be God's will, now he knows that he is magnified by God in their eyes, in their sight, he goes right to them and directs them. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come thither and hear the words of the Lord thy God. Your God. He's your God. I'm just a mouthpiece. He's your God. I'm just here as an instrument for him to work through. He's your God, but he's going to work through me to help you to understand certain things. That's every true pastor is an under-shepherd. We are not to be lords over God's heritage. No pastor ought to seek to be a lord. Every pastor ought to seek to be a under-shepherd. Jesus being the chief shepherd. And we just being those that he'll work through. Wow. Yeah. Your God. So he says, you look to me and I will point you to God. God has elevated, magnified me in your eyes, enabling you to esteem me. And as you esteem me and look to me, then I'm going to point you to him. That's the way God's always did it, you know. It's just not New Testament. It's magnified more in the New Testament. We see it more clearly, but it's just how God's always worked. Yeah. Of course, I have a desire to greet the people as they leave after Sunday services. Always done that, to be able to just to see their face and maybe have a quick conversation or just to let them say a few words. And so many times people come by and say, "Preacher, thank you for the message." My response is always going to be the same. Praise the Lord. Don't praise me. Now, I say that, and I say it in meaning that, because it's not me. It's not my message. It's God's message. Now, I make sure it's from the Bible. As long as it's from the Bible, it's from God. And however God allows me to be able to present the message, I'm presenting it for Him. And when you come through and you hear that, then as you're leaving, yeah, you look to me, but I trust that you look beyond me and that you received the message from God. And I always will direct you to that. And I understand. I mean, you're appreciative of the pastor, you're appreciative whoever preaches, the Sunday school teacher. Nothing wrong with you thanking that Sunday school teacher for the hard work that they labored and prepared to present a message to you. But they should not want the glory themselves, because they were preparing that to be used of God to be able to help you to know whatever God had for you to learn. And so it's not wrong for you to say, "Thank you, preacher, for the message," but always expect the kind of response that you should receive. Praise the Lord. It's God's message. He just funneled it through me to you. Yeah. It's God. And then he says in verse 11, as we close here tonight, "Behold, with all this," now he says this, he's magnified by God. He is saying, "I want you to see the Lord your God." He points them to God as they look to him, and he says, "Behold." And he points to the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth. This is not just the God of Israel. This is the God, the only creator God of the entire universe. Your God is the only true God. And he's the creator of all things. What an encouragement for us to know that. "And he passeth over before you into Jordan by way of the ark. Behold, the ark of the covenant, the God of your covenant, is here to be seen through the ark." When you see the ark out there and you follow the ark, you're seeing the presence of God. And you continue to follow the presence of God. Our covenant today, through Jesus Christ, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's the covenant that you have. If you call upon Jesus, then he will save you. As he saves you, means the meaning of that is you become God's child. You are his. You will always be his. You can never lose that relationship with God. You can lose fellowship with that God. And fellowship will be determined by your self-sanctification. But you are always going to be, once you get saved, you will always be God's child. And with that, the covenant of being God's child, if we look to Matthew chapter 28, we don't have to turn there right now, but his promise is, "I will always be with you. I'll always be with you. You'll never have to go through anything alone." Now, you might not know that I'm there if you're not in fellowship with me. If you're in fellowship with me, you'll feel my presence. But you're still, if you're saved, he will always be there. Yeah. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, let me just read that to you because we're coming to an end. He says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." You have that. God wants you to know that. "And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." If you know that you're saved and you know that his presence is there, you can also know that he will hear your cries. That's part of the covenant. When you go through this life, you can be aware of the presence of God, the covenant that he made with you, and then how you can see him. They wanted him to see God through the Ark of the Covenant. As I somewhat mentioned on Sunday morning, we can see him through his indwelling, because there's an inner peace that just allows us to sense the presence of God. We can see him every time we look at this Bible right here, because we have the covenant that he has given to us. It'll never pass away. And every time you look at the Bible, and if you have that understanding of it, you realize this is part of God's promise. I'll always have his word. It'll not pass away. And I'll always have his church. Your being here tonight is a help for you to be able to see God. Isn't that good stuff? Yeah. That's the covenant. The Ark of the Covenant through Christ, concerning the promises made to us that are what we need to make it through this life and accomplish the things that God has for us to accomplish. I could have every head bowed tonight for just a minute. Are you saved? If you are, then you have been sanctified by God, set apart for his purpose. He has a personal will for your life. The second part, are you progressively sanctifying yourself? That's where most fail, because it takes a commitment to turn away from the world and to turn to Christ, to be more like him. Father, we bow before you tonight. Thank you for this lesson out of Joshua. And Lord, I pray tonight that you'd help us to know that we have received this covenant. We know that we're saved, and we are looking to continue to draw closer by being more like Christ. Bless this invitation tonight. In Jesus' name.